The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Trinity is from 2 Samuel chapter 22. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet leap like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. This is the word of the Lord.
How majestic is your name in all the earth.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now these things took place as an example for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? You cannot serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. You may be seated. The word of the Lord proves true, as David says in that Old Testament reading for today, and we hear our gospel reading and see Jesus speaking in another parable. And we know that Jesus often spoke in parables, and the disciples even asked him, what do these parables mean? Matthew recorded this exchange. He said, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And so there are times when the parables are difficult, because their purpose is not to teach you about how the world operates necessarily, but the parables are to teach you how God and the kingdom of heaven work. They're given to God's people. And this is why so often Jesus will begin a parable with a phrase with like, the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of heaven may be compared to, something along those lines. He has that introduction often. And that's straightforward enough, and we can track with that purpose. But where things get difficult, though, is our minds, we want to think the opposite of what Jesus teaches. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we think the parables are odd when they don't follow the same way of doing things or logic that we see in the world around us or how we experience these things each and every day. We think along the lines of, for instance, well, that's no way to run a business. In the case of the laborers in the vineyard, or that's not fair that the ones who only worked at the very end of the day got paid the same as the one who worked all day in the scorching heat. Or we scratch our heads when we hear about this bridegroom coming and these 10 virgins who are called to rise up and meet him. They sound off. They sound a bit odd because our reference point is what we know, or to put it as Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. And so Jesus preaches the parables to teach you the things of God, and in him, the Lord, you have that wisdom that God gives. It's been given to you to know these things, to know what your Lord is teaching you. So you hear this word, and you approach them in humility. You approach them in repentance, and you approach them in faith. And you get a glimpse then. It's given to you to get a glimpse into God's action and his dominion. It's not a full picture. It's a figure of speech. It's like or compared to, as Jesus says. Yet that reality and wisdom impacted is nonetheless beneficial. So the Lord gives you these images, and he delivers to you and brings to you the very kingdom of God about which he speaks and what he accomplishes for you in Jesus. So considering then this about parables, you hear this gospel reading today on this ninth Sunday of Trinity. And God calls you to hear with the ears of faith. He calls you to see what he's teaching as he's telling you about himself and what he does for you in Christ. And when you do this, it gives you the wisdom to see the world differently as you are a son of light and you view the things around you in a different, well, light. And likewise, you see the master as one who has a master who is gracious and merciful, the one who doesn't just throw out this dishonest manager, but the one who even commends him for his shrewdness, not condoning his sin. You have a master who is a king who would send his own son to be killed by the ones who he has sent. You have a owner of the vineyard who doesn't treat people according to how much work they have done, whether it's out of his mercy and the promises he makes to them. You have one who stops along the way and stoops down to pick up the man in the ditch who had been beaten by robbers and left for dead and carries you to shelter and pays for everything you need. You see God in all of this. And you see the wisdom of God in Christ. And this forms you and it shapes you to your very core. Because Jesus said, for the sons of this light, or sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. So approaching this difficult parable today, there is a warning for you in this. The epistle reading, God inspired St. Paul to write these words. He said, now these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. So there's always that dynamic then when you hear the word of God and you see these things that your Lord shows you are harmful. He preaches that to you today. There's always that dynamic in this parable, the dishonest manager, which really that word dishonest is unrighteous here. He preaches to you when you look around, when you see sinners in this fallen world, don't be surprised when they're good at sinning. Don't be surprised when they are good at profaning the name of God. Don't be surprised when people work the system, when they manipulate, when they lie, and do what they can to save their face and their own skin. Your warning is to watch yourself. That type of thinking and action are not who you are as a Christian. You are different. You have been sanctified. You have been called out of the darkness and into the marvelous light of Christ. Your mind and your heart are set towards the things of God. You desire the path of wisdom, the scriptures, which lightens your path. You follow the way of Jesus as you go through this world because you belong to the kingdom of God. And this means then you look at what this man did in the parable and you take note. You don't fall into this temptation of thinking like the world thinks. Instead, you daily crucify your old desires and what the old Adam wants. You pray, as your Lord taught you, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You tell your sinful nature that you will have none of that. You hear these words of Jesus. You hear these words in the Old Testament reading. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely. With the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. And so as you approach your God, you know that he knows your thoughts. He knows your ways. He knows what you really desire. He knows your heart, and there's no way to wiggle yourself out of what he demands. And here's the thing in all of this, then, too. As you see this warning and you approach your Lord in humility, you see your sin before you, you know Jesus. And then you look at the parable from the perspective of the master. And what do you see? Well, when you see who your Lord is and what you have in Jesus, the focus is not on the dishonesty of the steward, but on the mercy of the master. And rather than our sinful nature wanting to confront, when confronted, trying to wiggle its way out of condemnation, you see there's something in all of this for you, you who are the sons of light. It's something the world, the sons of this generation, those outside of the faith will never understand. It's something you only see and know in your God-given faith. Because when you hear these parables and you fix your eyes on Christ, you behold your Lord and you see him in his mercy. You see the one who doesn't excuse your sin away but the one who knows your sin, who calls you to confess it, to repent, and the one who shows you mercy as only he can do. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. That's who your God is, who you know, you who are the sons of light. He's done for you this for you in Jesus. And so when you focus on the dishonest manager, you will see nothing but manipulation of sin in this parable. But when you focus on the master, you will see his great mercy. God doesn't see your sin and immediately send you to hell. He sent your son to be your substitute, who has taken the guilt upon himself, who suffered the just punishment you deserve. Look to yourself, look to others, and you will see sin. Look in faith to Christ, and you have your merciful God, who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This is your master. This is your Lord Christ. And then this forms your whole life then. You are defined by the mercy of God in Christ. Even your dealings with the things of this world are instructed by God and his word. Jesus concludes the gospel reading today saying, "And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth," or literally mammon, "so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." So as a Christian, as a son of light, you use the things of this world for the sake of God and his kingdom. He calls you to be wise in Christ every day, and the prudence to discern how you use the things you have. Use your God-given vocations and the things of this world for the sake of your neighbors, and point people to Jesus. The stuff of this world, the mammon, will fail, but the word of God endures forever. It's same for those whom you teach the faith to and concern yourself with. You think about this as you can amass all the stuff in this world, but one day it will all be gone. But your salvation, however, is forever, and so it is for your fellow saints. This is especially the case as a parent when you take care of your children with earthly goods, and you do so wisely, and you do so as one who has been a steward of what God has given to you. But first and foremost, you give your children Christ and his word. That's the eternal inheritance you give to your children, even if you drag them kicking and screaming as a child or adult to where salvation is given out. And Jesus spoke in parables, and even those ones that seem difficult, like today's gospel reading, you see your Lord in his kingdom. It sounds odd, but you behold your Lord, and you see that you have a place by grace through faith in him. And there's great joy and mercy to know God in Christ. You know who your Lord is, and you see what he has done in redeeming you. So when you are confronted with your sin, don't leave it to yourself. Don't try to make it right. Don't try to cover it up. Instead, confess it. Go to the person you have sinned against. Tell them you are sorry. Forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. Go to your pastor whom God has sent to you. Deliver forgiveness of Christ. Make use of the great gifts that your Lord has instituted in his church. Private confession and absolution for one. Hear those words that your sin has been put away, that your Lord forgives you. And there's no room for doubt, no room to question, because the Lord himself speaks to you that your sin is forgiven and you have eternal life. And this is why you're gathered here in this place, on this day. The kingdom of God is in your midst as Jesus is here. You gather with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Heaven and earth meet in this place, and your Lord is here with you and for you. This is the treasure of the Christian faith and lived in the treasure of the church. You can't hear God's word enough. You can't sing great hymns enough. You can't have the Lord's Supper too much. You daily sin much, and you need Jesus. You need his forgiveness. You need his life. You need his salvation. Fix your eyes on the Lord and want what he gives, for he showers you with his mercy. And he really does this, and it happens here in this service. This place right here, and in this service, is standing before you, the Lord, and seeing the account of your doings. And you gather in this place and cry out, "Lord, have mercy." And God's answer is to forgive you. And God gives you Christ and his benefits. And while you rightly don't deserve to be called his son, your Lord is the Father who welcomes you back into his home with outstretched arms of compassion. This is who your Lord is. the same Lord who used the unrighteous wealth of the cross so that his arms and his hands are marked with the signs of crucifixion that he paid for the price for you. And your Lord gives and you receive. And you have what he gives. And he speaks to you. He speaks to you in his word. He speaks to you in parables. For you are his children, the sons of light. And you look forward to that day when you see him face to face and that eternal feast which knows no end. This is the priceless treasure that you have. This is the kingdom of God which has been given to you now and forever. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.